would you take the substance? And how much of your self-perception is truly your own? The Substance is a film I highly recommend you watch if you've not seen it already. And the question, would you take the substance, is for those of you that have seen the film. If you're listening on Spotify, I believe my future self will have been competent enough to actually put that question in so that you can respond. And I'm curious to gauge the cosmetic weather, shall we say, or no, the cosmetic climate. The film The Substance, no spoilers here, but so you can be involved in this conversation if you've not watched the film. It is an interesting commentary on distorted beauty standards and the effect that they have on self-worth. So the main character in the film, it starts with her coming to the end of a successful career in media. She's had a TV show and has been successful and celebrated because of her beauty, her looks, and her physique. Her career is coming to an end now because her male boss has decided she's past it, basically. He wants to get in the next young thing who's hotter and sexier and can excite the audience. So she gets cast aside, and we witness right at the start of the film her starting to grapple with, well, who am I? Now that I don't have this role where I'm getting validated all the time by the public and by my boss, what's my value? Am I desirable? Who am I? The Substance comes in, and it is an experimental drug that promises to let you live your best possible life. The Substance comes with rules that must be complied with. And if they aren't, there are negative consequences on the main character. There is a stark contrast between the life the main character gets to live when she is being her best self and still, as part of this, young, conforming to the beauty standards and celebrated, validated because of that. And then the life that she keeps returning to, where she's just ended her career, she's, I think, about to turn 50. And as the film goes on, this contrast gets greater and greater and greater. And because of the contrast, her identity becomes more and more hypercritical and fragile. So it's an incredible film that brings up an important conversation around, who is defining beauty? Where is our self-worth coming from? And particularly as women, how much are we contributing to this distortion of beauty? Like, if we bring it to social media, this is something that I have been on a journey with. I only use social media for my work, but many of you who have been connected with me for a while will have seen the evolution. Back in 2015, 2016, when I just started teaching yoga and used Instagram for my yoga classes and marketing, for getting people booked onto my yoga classes, I was, bless me, you know, I was, what, 23 or something, and I knew that these were actions that made sense for the outcomes I wanted. It made sense that I needed to be putting myself out there, speaking about my classes, inviting you along to events, but I was self-conscious. It's not that natural to always be filming yourself and looking at yourself whilst you're filming. It's not like, you know, if you're actually on a TV set. Like, for example, I recently was filmed by a marketing person for Cambridge Street Collective in Sheffield. And I just found that so much fun because she was filming me. I couldn't see what I looked like, so I wasn't distracted by that at all. I was just having fun, enjoying myself, really enjoyed kind of presenting, if you want to call it that. But there's something on your iPhone, holding that up and seeing yourself as you're speaking, that is uncomfortable before you make a habit of it and get used to it. So when I initially started my Instagram and was talking about my classes, this was back when Instagram didn't even have filters. So my little workaround was I would go onto Snapchat, because this was so long ago that I did indeed use Snapchat. Do not anymore. It's like come back around, hasn't it? So I used to go onto my Snapchat. It had all the crazy like puppy dog filters where you've got floppy ears and all those ridiculous things. And I would film on my Snapchat with those filters, save the videos, and then go back into Instagram and upload them to Instagram. Some of you will remember this. And so it's been a real journey. I didn't feel comfortable just being seen. A lot of people, but I will say, I think particularly women, have sensitivity around really being seen. And so that was all the way back then. Of course, later down the line, Instagram added their own filters. And I initially was using really over-the-top ones. And then it got to a point a few years ago, maybe 2-3 years ago, where I made an intentional decision not to use those filters. Occasionally, I might use one that just adds a little bit of grain or something just because I find it more aesthetically interesting, but nothing that is actually distorting, slimming, changing my face. It's funny because they still will put all these different filters on your Instagram story. And so occasionally I'll like click on a few, and some that once upon a time I would have enjoyed using because it does slim your face, it does make your eyes a little bit bigger. It looks ridiculous to me now when I put it on my face. I'm just like, no. So filters I avoid using on Instagram consciously because I noticed a negative impact that it would then have if I actually then saw myself in the mirror, or then the filter went and I was just looking at my face on my camera, on my phone. The film is a very interesting commentary on how we contribute to these distortions. So when it comes to social media these days, it can be really hard to tell. People are putting up face-tuned photos or using Photoshop to edit their bodies. It's so curated. The apps that do edit are so good these days that you really don't know what's real, what's not. Now we've got AI coming into the mix. Some of the AI things that I've seen are hilarious, that people actually think it's real. But I'm sure that there are times where I've been hoodwinked and I've seen something like a ridiculous reel that seems like it's just some funny scenario playing out that's probably not, it's probably AI. It's a complicated time, isn't it? And it's very easy to point the finger and blame everything other than where you yourself are contributing to these distortions. There's no judgment on, like, I'm not making a judgment if you're someone who does get procedures done, you've had cosmetic work, but it is an important question to be asking. Where are we contributing to these distortions ourselves whilst complaining of these unrealistic standards? And just as a funny side note, like, this is actually sad as well, but also kind of funny. I have on a couple of occasions, and this is not a flex, but this genuinely has happened, when I've been on dating apps, I've had men tell me I'm catfishing them. And there are two occasions I can remember where men have requested either that I send a video saying something to them so they can prove that they are speaking to a human, and one where a guy asked me to send a photo where I was holding the date, like I'd written the date and was holding it. And I'm like, no, I am not catfishing you. I'm offended that you think my life is so sad that this is how I'm spending my time. But then it was this impossible situation because they were both essentially saying, well, that's exactly what a catfish would say. Why don't you just do it? Why don't you just prove it to me? You sound like a catfish. Now I'm even more sure you're a catfish. I'm like, is this really where we are in society? But yeah, we really are here. And that's a whole other tangent. But catfishing is also just so perplexing to me. The beauty trap. Where may you, and this is potentially an uncomfortable question, pick up a penguin to ask yourself, where are you contributing to some of these distortions, to some of these unattainable standards? Maybe it's minor. Maybe you just like to use apps when you take photos of yourselves. This is something that actually I've also noticed has become more common. When people show you photos of what they've been up to, or they're posting things onto their Instagram feed or onto their stories, the photos are no longer just photos and moments. They're photos that have got an Instagram filter on them. And so even when you're then retrospectively just looking at nice memories, you're looking at a filtered moment. I find it really sad, especially if there's babies in the photos. And also, yeah, if you're thinking about having kids or you've got children, what might the impact be on that innocent soul who is either seeing you always putting filters on your face or getting work done, or is then eventually looking back at photos of them filtered? It's so easy when you start talking about it with babies in the mix to remember how perfect each of us is. We're one of a kind. You will never exist again. This beautiful genetic makeup that you have will never exist again in the way that it expresses through your identity, your personality, your looks. And can we do our part in stepping out of this matrix? In the film, there is such a huge difference between how the men and women are portrayed. And it's comical, but also obviously poignant. So the man, this boss that I mentioned before, he is conveyed in such a grotesque way. He's sloppy. There are some scenes that I found so incredible, because it's like he's smoking his cigarette and it's a very close shot, and you just see these disgusting tarred teeth as he's speaking, puffing on his cigarette. Or he's sat eating a meal and the sounds of him chewing with his mouth open and the sauce like spewing out of his mouth onto the table and his oily hands. It's just like, oh, how gross. And I took from this a commentary on the power that men in this film, but also at large, have, and how that gifts them all this freedom to not really give a shit about how women are perceiving them. It's all about how men are perceiving the women. She's looking at him and thinking, ugh. But he doesn't give a shit. But so many of these standards and this dynamic of the man overpowering the woman mean that the woman is consumed, her thinking, her decision making, just all of this mental effort is going towards, how do I get the external validation? How can I be good enough? How can I look pretty enough? How can I be perfect enough, thin enough, pert enough, pert enough to be liked, to be desirable, to be chosen, If only I could be chosen by this disgusting man, then my life would be made. The highest accolade in life as a woman is to be chosen, isn't it? Pick me, please. Gross man, pick me. Tell me I'm good enough, even though I'm clearly way better than you, if we want to make judgments. This is something that I see in my work and in my personal life. The fear of being alone as a woman, the fear of standing on your own two feet and being good enough without a man needing to tell you that, to choose yourself. But these beauty standards and this whole obsession and sexualization of youth in women is such a distraction from actually connecting to your true power, connecting to your inner worth, your inner authority, your internal power and sense of self. Do you feel good enough? Do you feel that you need to be chosen by a man? And, you know, even the narratives around being single as women, I don't know, men, if you were listening, feel free to message me your thoughts on any of this. Obviously, I'm speaking as a female and in relation to this film and the way that these dynamics are portrayed. I know that men, you will have your own things that are being distorted and traps that you feel aren't fair. I would hazard a guess that that is around more of the provider stuff. How articulate of me. I often get complimented on my eloquence, but then occasionally I malfunction. Things around your physicality, you know, portraying strength all the time. Your performance, basically, your physical performance, sexual performance, business, financial performance. Obviously, today I'm focusing on this film and what it brings up as a female. The narratives of being single as a woman are something's wrong. Why don't you have a man or a partner? You're being too fussy. You better settle down. You better find someone. Why? Why must I better settle down? Why must I find someone? What's the rush? I don't want to settle. I'm not interested in settling. Like, even that word, settle down. No. What's that woman's name? Barbara? Karen. No, Karen. I don't want to settle down. That's precisely what I am not in the business of. I'm someone who dreams big and then does not settle for less than my dream. So I'm going to carry on experimenting, enjoying myself, loving myself deeper and deeper and deeper, and upholding certain standards and boundaries. Because I don't need to be chosen by some sloppy man who can't even eat some prawns without getting it all over the tablecloth, actually. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and see. And actually, I'm not even going to wait and see, because that makes it sound like life is on hold until a man appears and decides to be beside me. I am living my life, and should a man enter the equation and prove to be good enough for me, because actually I get to do the choosing here as well, then we will have a really beautiful, rich relationship, because I know what I bring to the table as a human and a partner. So thank you for your concerns, Karen, but I choose myself. And it kind of looks like I'm having more fun than you, to be honest. So you go worry about your life and the state of your relationship that you won't walk away from, because God forbid a relationship ends and then you have to realize you don't know who you are without a man. That's a whole other topic. So there's a scene, actually, now that I've started talking about dating, there is a scene. So if I just kind of recap your attention on the film for a moment, especially if you've not seen it before, there's the substance that splits into different realities. There is what I will call reality. The character, at the age that she is, when we meet her in the film, her career has ended. She's kind of feeling like she's aged, she's not good enough. And then there is the best self life. Because of the contrast between best self life, who is fitting in with all those beauty standards, and then reality, who is no longer conforming to those, this contrast leads her to consider a man who she previously believed to be far too good for. So because of this contrast, she decides to go on a date with this man because she wants to be validated. She's like, oh yes, hold on, there's this guy. He'll validate me. He'll make me feel desirable again. I need this right now. I need that reassurance. So she decides to go on this date. And there's a scene that I found very memorable and sad and also relatable, where she's getting ready for the date. Initially, there's this air of excitement and she's, you know, getting her makeup on. She's putting on a nice red dress. She's kind of feeling herself. She begins to walk towards the door like she's going to leave. And she kind of remembers her best self, goes back to the bathroom, looks in the mirror again. This time you can see she's beginning to pick herself apart. She's being critical. There's comparison. She's fighting with herself. There's no actual dialogue here, but you can still kind of hear these thoughts, especially as a woman. It's so obvious that she's now being hypercritical and worrying that she's not going to look good enough. He's not going to desire her, even though she's put on this dress, she's put on her makeup, she's done her hair. And she keeps going towards the door, retreating, going towards the door, retreating. And then in the end, she doesn't go on this date. She scrapes off her makeup so aggressively and like, oh, it's so sad. If you listen to my last episode, I finished that by suggesting a practice where you involve body sweeping to infuse yourself with love and compassion. Like how we touch ourselves in a non-sexual way really signals certain things, right? And that scene where she is being so harsh with her touch on her face is really, really harrowing. And yet so relatable, right? How many times have you hesitated to either attend an event, a date, some sort of social gathering, or share a photo, or express yourself because you then worry that it's not going to be good enough? You're comparing to some curated moment you've seen on social media, or all these like Botoxed plastic, quote unquote, perfect bodies that you see. And it's really an invitation to let go of that perfection, that fake standard of perfection, and embrace who you really are, the beautiful, authentic, expressive face that you have, the body that you have, unique ideas, quirks, and traits that only you have. So much money, energy, time is spent and arguably wasted on eradicating all of that individuality to make you like that ideal, that trend. The sad part for me in this scene and this part of the film is that she just becomes increasingly unhappy. Like where it started before she was taking the substance and where it goes, it's so sad. And there's a moment where she has an opportunity to stop taking the substance, to stop this whole thing. Life can't go back to how she was before she took it, but it can stop. The process doesn't have to continue. But because there's this lure of the best life, she can't. She gets hooked onto it. And there's no shade here, but do you know what? I think basically the vast majority of my friends have had cosmetic procedures done. I don't know if that is the right thing because I've never had any of this stuff done. Like there's surgery and then there's procedures, right? Or treatments. I don't know if you'd call it treatments or procedures, but things like Botox, filler, what's the salmon sperm one? Polynucleotides, I think that's what it's called. And hands up, I will be honest with you, whilst I have not done any of this stuff, when everyone around you seems to be doing it, I would be lying if I didn't say I've toyed with it, I've flirted with it, I've followed accounts, I've considered booking appointments, and then I always back out. Because I think, as this film demonstrates, when you start really obsessing and fixating to that level of detail, it is a slippery slope. And once you start, you've got to maintain, right? And you kind of get a bit blind to this stuff, I would imagine, and I have been told. And that's where you see these people occasionally pop up in my discovery page, and I have no idea why. Probably because I then click on it, because I'm like, what is life? You see these people who are caricatures. Like, it's so confusing. And I mean, there must be some men that find this stuff attractive, but to me, I just do not understand it. And in fact, I will go as far as saying any man who is attracted to that aesthetic and any woman who is undergoing risk and putting her own life to some degree, right, in danger for these procedures to look this way are not well. They have fallen very, very deeply into the matrix. They are sick. They are unable to see truth. They are unable to appreciate what it really means to be alive. And yeah, they are living through really ingrained distortions. Like women with literally ginormous lips that look hilarious. Like, how are you even eating and drinking food? I do not understand. And then these huge plastic boobs that literally just look like concrete balloons stuck onto your chest. This tiny, tiny frame. Because remember, women, to always be as petite as you possibly can. But also, at the same time, to have the largest fucking boobs that you could ever possibly have. Because cleavage is sexy, but so are bones. And we can't possibly do both these things naturally. So be as skinny as you can, have your Ozempic, sip on your hot lemon water with chili, cayenne pepper, whatever that weird Beyonce diet was, but go and pay thousands of pounds to then have this silicone inserted into your body. It's so sad. And then I'm thinking of a particular reel that I saw. This woman who looked insane like that. She was such a tiny frame with these huge fake boobs, a BBL, and massive pufferfish lips, was trotting about in her stilettos in this tiny skimpy outfit. But then the caption of her reel was all about how men stare at her. I mean, babe, I would stare at you because it's freakish. It's weird. This is not natural. You're not born with that desire. Like, this is where we do have to question how much of your self-perception around what is beautiful is truly your own. Because I don't think that woman was born with this idea in her head that that's how she wants to look. That's someone who, and this is where I do get sad, that's someone who has been so influenced and has such a weak connection to who they really are, like any internal sense of self, and is constantly living for the approval of others And so you end up jumping from one trend to another to another. It's just this exhausting, endless pursuit to be validated. And no matter how many of these things you're doing, how many substances, how many procedures, how many tweaks, how many filters, until there is a sense of internal validation and acknowledgement of self, it will never be good enough. I've come such a long way with this. I'm not all the way there, in all honesty. Some of you, if you're connected with me on Instagram, may have seen over the summer me sharing, well, no, I didn't really share about it, but obviously I had to touch on it because it was happening on my face. I had a skin breakout for the first time in my life, and in the grand scheme of things, probably minor, but for me, it really brought to the surface how critical I am of myself. You know, retrospectively, realizing, gosh, yeah, my friends were always right with saying how lucky I am to have the skin I had, that had never had breakouts, always looked very, you know, youthful and glowy. And yeah, it really, it's funny that it happened my face as well. I actually had a homeopathy session a week ago as I'm recording this to go deeper into this healing process. But our body is always communicating to us, and it was fascinating that this breakout happened on my face. You can't hide your face. It was on my face, and another little mention to the ex. Shout out to the ex. The timing of this also, how interesting. Flare up happened when I let that man back into my life. Continued, got worse. Whilst he was in my life, we break up. Skin is back. Hallelujah. It's taught me a lot. And I love the fact that my homeopath asked me the question, what is the blessing? What is the blessing in your skin acting up like that? What has it taught you? It taught me so much. Reclaiming your power and redefining beauty. So obviously the deeper message within the substance is that your true worth lies within, not in external validation. That is always going to be fleeting. And of course, as humans, there is a level of validation from people in our lives that is important. It's important to be validated. But we can't create a sense of self that is confident, stable, and healthy by living off of the need for external validation. What beliefs about beauty and worth are truly yours? And where are you currently judging yourself, being harsh because of conditioned thinking, because of conditioned standards? And as I said, where may you be contributing to some of these distortions? It's fine if you want to, is it fine? I don't know. It is what it is if you are having procedures and things done to try and maintain your youth or whatever your reasons are for it. But if we really want to go into this, it's problematic. I believe it's problematic because what are you saying to yourself in those moments? What are you saying to yourself when you go get the Botox? When you go get the top up for your filler? When you get your nose job? When you get your boob job? When you're having a BBL? What are you actually saying? I can't answer that question for you. I can hazard a guess, but I'm just going to leave that question hanging. What are you saying to yourself? And what does make you feel most alive and beautiful on your terms? Who are you when no one is watching? Who are you? What a deep question. Like, who are you? When no one else is around, who are you? And is there a step that you can take from the back of this episode to value your inner substance, to really love yourself, see yourself for the perfect, unique expression of life that you are? I hope you've enjoyed this conversation on the substance as an opportunity to talk beauty standards, reclaiming inner worth, and embracing your beautiful, authentic self. As always, if you have enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating or review. Share it with someone who would benefit from listening to this conversation. And if you're looking for ways to dive deeper and really anchor into your internal self-worth, then I will leave in the description two amazing options for you that are not currently open, but in the new year will be available for you to join. One of them is Spiritual MOT, which is a group program. It is a deep cleanup of beliefs and ways of perceiving yourself that are not in total truth, capital T truth, with the fact that you are this incredible, unique expression that wants to live a unique journey and how you can live from that place. And then there is also Spiritual Alignment, which is the 3-month private coaching with me. Details will be in the show notes. If you've got any questions, you will also see my email to get in touch, and I will see you in the next episode.